what narcissists will do a lot of times is they'll take a conversation that was sort of about that, like maybe kind of related, and twist it so that you start questioning your own brain.
Welcome to the Earn Your Happy podcast. I'm Lori Harder, founder of Light Pink, best-selling author, three-time fitness world champion, and I'm a crazy, multi-passionate entrepreneur. My journey has taken me everywhere from being a broke waitress, barista, retails associate, and personal trainer with massive anxiety and no belief in myself to later becoming a multimillionaire in love with my life. In 2007, my husband and I lost everything. We found ourselves hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt at rock bottom. We had no ideas and I had no education to fall back on. This is when I found personal development and learned everything I could about business. Not by choice, but because I realized no one was coming to save me. The conversations on this podcast are going to let you know that you're not alone and that we all feel like we don't know what we're doing. We're going to give you the tools to help you face your fears, take action, start your business, and grow those massive dreams that are keeping you up at night. It's time to create a life that you can't hide from and put so much on the line that your higher self is forced to come out. You're going to stop waiting for someone to approve of you and you're going to anoint yourself. Because I'm obsessed about building businesses that give women a platform, I want to feature you. So if you text the word podcast to 310-496-8363, you can get your questions answered on our Q&A segment along with a shout out. And if you rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast, we're choosing someone every month to get coached and featured on our show. It just might be you. So let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. As you know, I'm going to be launching Light Pink. It's coming this summer. And if you want to see all of the behind the scenes, if you want to get a letter from me of what is going on and all the cool things and opportunities for you that are coming up, go to lightpink.com and make sure you opt in on the site. I'm so excited, you guys. And today I have Rebecca Zung on the show. She is one of the top 1% of attorneys in the nation, having been recognized by U.S. News and World Report as a best lawyer in America and as legal elite by Trend Magazine. She is the author of the best-selling books, Negotiate Like You Matter, The Surefire Method to Step Up and Win, and Breaking Free, a step-by-step divorce guide and achieving emotional, physical, and spiritual freedom. And she is a sought-after major media contributor. Her perspectives are in high demand by television and print outlets, as she's been featured on Extra, in Forbes, Huffington Post, Newsweek, Time, Dr. Drew, NPR Talk Radio, Good Day New York. Now based in Los Angeles, she's continuing to serve through her very popular YouTube channel, media appearances, podcasts, articles, and on-demand programs such as Slay Your Negotiations with a Narcissist and Breaking Free Divorce Masterclass. You guys, this is such an interesting conversation about how to negotiate with a narcissist. I was completely enthralled and I think you're going to love it. I think you're going to learn a lot. I know I did. So let's get started. Rebecca, I'm so excited to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to talk with you.
Oh my God. Okay. So I can't ask you questions fast enough, to be honest, because what we're going to talk about today, I think, is either going to bring people a lot of peace or just like completely blow their minds that they may not know that potentially they have a narcissist in their life that maybe they've been dealing with. And this was so interesting to me because I know that I definitely had one in my life, one or maybe more. And I want to know, like, let's just go from the very beginning. First of all, I want to know what exactly is a narcissist. And then I'd love for you to share how you got into what you do, which is helping people negotiate with narcissists.
Yeah. What a career, right?
But that's thank God for you.
Yeah, but that is what I do. Well, so how, well, who a narcissist is, I mean, I've had to deal with a couple of them myself too. Mm-hmm. It's a person who has no inner sense of value. Mm-hmm. So they feel like they have to get all of their sense of value from the external. They're constantly trying to feed that. And, you know, so very inner fragile self. Mm-hmm. And no sense of care, compassion, or empathy for others. It's mm-hmm. really both of those things. And I'd like to make sure that people know that, because they do come in different forms. There's mm-hmm. like the covert or the grandiose or the malignant or whatever, but they all share those qualities. No inner sense of value, no sense of care or empathy for others. And, but they can be covert, you know, so I had to deal with a couple of narcissists in my own life too. One is a business person and one in an extended family situation, and both of them were women. And I remember when somebody, a friend of mine who was a psychologist, pointed out that one of them was a covert narcissist, I was like, to narcissist to me was like a boastful, bragging, fill the room kind of a person, mm-hmm. you know? And a lot of times, you know, people will think, oh, if somebody just says anything nice about themselves, then they must be a narcissist. Mm-hmm. But it's not that at all, because you can definitely be covert. It's really that no sense of inner value, and you have no sense of care or compassion or empathy for others.
Mm. So is this something that's like easy to spot right away? Or do you think, because I know that you mentioned a few different kinds. Tell me about the different kinds. Because sometimes people, you know, like, you're like, how did this person get into my life? I didn't even see this coming.
Yeah, no, they're not so easy to spot, because they're really, really good at reading people, mm-hmm. and they know how to show up as a perfect person for somebody. And so they're extremely charismatic, usually pretty smart at how they, you know, manipulate their way into people's lives. And they seem wonderful at the beginning. I mean, the most caring person, you know, if you're, you know, I always think of Dirty John, you know, that series. I don't know if you mm-hmm. saw that, but, you know, where the guy like shows up and here's this woman in her 50s and she's successful, but she didn't have a man in her life. And, you know, he's like doing the dry cleaning and making smoothies for her. And he's like a doctor and all these things, and which he wasn't a doctor, of course, but it's what he said that mm-hmm. he was. And so, you know, he showed up super perfectly. So the real tip off is, number one, do they seem too good to be true? You know, and I had to deal with it in a business setting, and, you know, the person seemed really, really perfect at the beginning. Like I thought that we could be best friends, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, but they move very quickly. They almost like jump levels really, mm-hmm. really quickly, because they're what they call love bombing, or the idealization phase is that how it starts. And they know how to almost chameleon their themselves to be the perfect person for you. Mm. And so, but then they want to move the relationship along very quickly, whether it's a business or a romantic, it doesn't really matter, because they don't really want to have to do this deposit into the situation. Mm. It's for a purpose. It's to groom you to be a source of narcissistic supply for them. Mm. So that's kind of how it happens.
Oh man, supply is such an interesting word. And it's when you've, if anybody's listening and you've been the supply, you fully resonate with that word.
I've been the supply.
That's where you're like, wow, it feels like a feeding, like being, you know, oh, like you have to feed totally. All the time. And I think, you know, I'm hoping that this episode is really powerful for people to have the realization that, you know, there were times in my life before I knew what it was, where I was in a couple of relationships just with female people, whether it was extended family, kind of like that. And one was more of a friend situation where I felt crazy. Like no matter what I did, I was wrong, or I was doing something wrong, or it was like, I couldn't make things right no matter how hard I tried. And I legitimately felt crazy for a solid year of my life in one of the relationships. So what are some of the ways that you noticed that you were feeling that were kind of like, because so if we still can't recognize the person, because maybe they're not like showing up as having to be perfect, but they have a lot of those other traits that you said, what are some of the ways that you were feeling that you were noticing like, wow, I'm feeling X, Y, and Z around this person. This is kind of a telltale sign.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely don't want to say names because I don't either of these people back in my world. Ever.
No, absolutely not.
And like, you know, like with the garlic over here, stay away.
For sure.
But, you know, like just things like, for example, you know, I had a business situation with one of them and there was a client that had been referred to the business. And this person serviced the client. And then I noticed that the money never came into the bank account. Mm. And so I said something to the person and the person said, oh, I didn't know how to deposit it into the business bank account, which doesn't really make any sense to me whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But so I had to put it in my own account, but I need to talk to my bookkeeper to find out how to do it correctly on the books to move it over to the other account. Mm. And that seems so, this was an educated person.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was like, that is not sitting right with me.
Yeah.
Like that does not seem right to me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I would ask about it like every once in a while. And then I started to feel like, because this person was like, you know, it's me. Nobody has more integrity than I do. I just want to make sure it's the right way. And of course I want, you know, the business to grow and, you know, and they're telling you these things and they seem like so sincere and honest in that moment. And they make you feel like, you must be such a jerk for like even questioning their integrity or like thinking this. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then like, then you start to feel, you know, should I even bring it up again? Maybe it's not worth it. Maybe it's like, oh, it's just not that much money. Who really cares? And so you start going, well, maybe I should just go along, but it still doesn't feel right. And then other things are happening, but they're like really nice sometimes. And it's like, but you know, that's like not the only thing that's happening. Like there's other things that are happening and it's just, you know, you just start to question your own sanity.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What
is that a good example?
Yes. Yeah. I'm like right there with you. I'm like, yeah, something similar. So for me, a new term for me in like the last year was gaslighting. I didn't understand what that was, even though it was something that had happened in my life that I'm like, that's what that is. Oh my gosh. Like I had had someone in my life where I would say what happened or a memory that I had had. And it was like, well, this is how I felt. And this is the memory and this is what happened. And it was that didn't happen. You know, someone who was there and I'm like, yes, it did. And it's like, no, that didn't happen. And
yeah, like, no, that's exactly what gaslighting is. So it comes from the movie Gaslight from like the 40s. I think it was a show as well or something.
Okay.
And what the husband was doing was trying to make the wife think she was crazy. So he would blow out these gas lights and she would say, wasn't that just lit? And he would say, no, it wasn't. So it's like to make you question your own reality.
Interesting.
You know, so like in my situation, I would have a conversation with one of the narcissists I was dealing with and we would agree to something. And then I would see the person doing things that were completely contrary to the agreement. Mm. And I would say, what are you doing? And the person would say, we had a conversation about that. You agreed to that. Mm. And I'd be like, we never talked about that. We never agreed to that. But what narcissists will do a lot of times is they'll take a conversation that was sort of about that, like maybe kind of related and twist it so that you start questioning your own brain. Like, was that part of the conversation? Like, I don't remember it that way. you know, but when that, especially I've never had to deal with it in a romantic situation. Thank God. Like I always have to tell people my husband's not a narcissist. Everybody like my poor husband, but it was so bad. I mean, it was like, and it gets into your brain and you just start like ruminating on it all the time. Like it just like sucks the life out of you.
So have you dealt, I'm sure that you have, because a lot of what you do is with either, you know, family members or spouses. What happens when it's someone so close to these people and they're, you know, especially when like love and emotions and all of the things are involved, how do you start to separate yourself from this like crazy illusion that is created in their world when you're so tied to them?
It's really, really hard. I mean, I had to deal with this with a family member who is still in the process of separating out from a narcissist. And, you know, this particular family member was still very in love with his wife and really didn't want to a divorce and really, but, you know, he didn't realize it was like trauma bonding and that, you know, what was going on. And honestly, I started helping him before I actually started doing a lot of the YouTube videos, because I really only started doing YouTube like a year ago. And then when I started doing the videos and he started watching my videos and he even came to my free webinar, my own cousin.
Wow.
And and he was like, oh my God, this is what she is.
Yeah.
And he's like, but I try to tell him that and he didn't really, until he actually started watching my videos and hearing how I laid it out and the kinds of things that they say and the kinds of things that they do and the specific examples, that's when they start to realize. And that's honestly, you know, there is PTSD involved and everything, but I've spoken to psychologists and what they say is like, it's actually the first step is going, oh my God, it is them. It's not me. And then the healing actually happens fairly quickly once they can, you know, get out of the situation.
Oh my gosh. That is like this, this is why this conversation is so powerful, is because when you can realize it is not you, you can start to like detach energetically and you can realize that the power is in your court. Like you have the ability to gain your power back because you can, I think that's the biggest thing, is you feel extremely powerless, you know, when you're in, in relationship with these people. And so what are some of the things, you know, I think your videos are so helpful. You guys definitely go follow her on YouTube. We're going to link everything up, but your videos are so powerful because you give us things to do. So how do we, you know, in, let's just say they're in your family, or let's say you're working with one. How do we start showing up for these people? I know one of the things that you said not to do, which I think this might be a really good place to start, is what not to do when we are in our first moments of realization and the beginning of trying to figure out how to kind of get out of these relationships.
Well, you don't give them anything that ends up being ammunition down the road. So, you know, just getting your emotions in check, even like I tell people to have really strict boundaries or keep the interaction brief so that you're not triggered, because they want to trigger you. They want to goad you. They want you to get upset, because then they can turn around after they've goaded you and say, look at you, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. Look at you going nuts. You know, I mean, and I actually, the video I have coming out today actually is Narcissists Care a Lot. I don't know if anybody has watched I Care a Lot on Netflix.
Yes. I just watched it. It was so good. Oh my God.
So you got to watch my video today. It just came out, Narcissists Care a Lot. It's my breakdown of that show. But there's a scene, and this is a spoiler alert for those of you who haven't seen it, but there is a scene where the guardian, the main character, is like goading the older woman at the nursing home, and you're this and you're that. The woman stands up and chokes her, and then she turns around and uses it against her in court. And that's what narcissists do. So a big, huge don't is don't give them ammunition, because anything you say or do will be used against you. It's worse than getting arrested. You know, it's like they will definitely use that. Mm-hmm. And many times they've goaded it out of you. So don't allow yourself to be triggered by, you know, keeping super strong boundaries in place, keeping your interactions with them really brief. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really, you know, those are the two things that you can definitely do. Of course, go no contact if you can, but some people are still dealing with them. Like maybe it's a business partner, maybe it's a, you know, they have a children together or whatever. Yeah. And you can't just completely cut it off. But you can control the conversation.
Yeah. I've talked to some people recently who it's a parent or, you know, that's something they can't cut off and they're in a lot of interactions with them. So that's been interesting. Like how would you just lessen interaction if it is a parent? You would just, what do you do around holidays? What do you do around, you know, all of those things?
Totally. I mean, we have a situation where we're dealing with that. You just say, okay, you know, I'm going to control the interaction and the amount of time, you know, we'll go over there on Christmas Day. We will stay for 1 hour. Mm. We will not engage in conversation in anything other than, you know, the pot roast and, the wassail or whatever. And then we will leave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. And, you know, giving yourself like time limits sometimes really, really helps. Having an agenda when you go and speak to them, you know, we're going to talk about this. Anything beyond this agenda is we're not talking about. Mm-hmm. And then just having phrases that you can, you know, my SLAY program, I have a program. And in my SLAY program, I have 50 key phrases to disarm a narcissist, you know. Mm-hmm. So you have like an arsenal of things that you can say, like, you're right, you know, or I'm sorry you feel that way, or I can understand that that's your position, you know, things like that, where you're basically staying detached from it and you're not giving them more fuel. Mm. Because if you start to get into the mud, like if they say, oh, you're a horrible parent, and you're like, okay, I just picked him up from school. I fed him a snack. I'm helping them with homework. I took him to baseball. Like, how am I neglectful over here?
Yeah.
But if you start to get into it with them and start defending yourself, then you're in it. That's where they've got you down in the mud and that's where they want you to be. So I always say never explain, justify, or overshare. Mm. You know, just respond factually.
Yes. Yes. And another thing you said is never call them a narcissist.
No.
So tell me about that one, because I do think some people realize it and then they're like trying to show the person this is what they are and this is what they do. What happens with that?
We're never convincing them of that ever. No. So don't waste your time, breath, or energy. And I would just, be careful because, you know, they're very good at deflection and projection. And so if you start using words like narcissist, then be prepared that that's what you are. Mm. And that's what they're going to tell everybody that you are as well. I mean, so, you know, be careful about the kinds of things you throw out there.
Mm. So interesting. One of my biggest experiences and realizations was just this aha moment of with this type of personality. I was like, no matter what I do, I become like, I am now the victim of this person, but by being the victim of a narcissist, you are the victimizer of them and they think they're the victim. So it's like always, what is that about that person? Is this something that is like, you know, is this for psychologists? Do they truly like, you know, just people sit in the chair and they're like, whoa, this person's a narcissist. Are there classic things that they go down and check the boxes? I know we kind of talked about that, but tell me a little more about that.
Yeah. So there's a DSM-5 and, you know, I'm not a psychologist, but I just have studied this so that I can understand how to negotiate with them. And the DSM-5 has 7 different criteria that they look at, which is, you know, shamelessness, no boundaries, magical thinking, entitlement, you know, things like that. But, you know, very few narcissists end up in the chair to go, that's me.
It's the other people, right?
They estimate that it's 10% of the population has either narcissism or narcissistic traits or tendencies, but who really knows? I mean, all I know is that there's not a person on the planet that hasn't had to deal with them.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I think this will be super helpful. So what are some classic things that you kind of always see with people who, when they come to you for your help or to kind of like learn how to negotiate, what are some things that you see and what are some, you know, tips that you can give them to help disarm some of those basic things that you see all the time?
Yeah. So the one thing I want to just say, so SLAY is my methodology, which is strategy, leverage, anticipate, and focusing on you. Mm. And so it's SLAY your negotiation with a narcissist in divorce. I have a SLAY for business, you know, and so we have SLAY coaches as well. But the thing you have to understand about narcissists is that they're just only after one thing at all times, which is narcissistic supply. And supply can come in the form of adulation and prestige and people thinking highly of them and the society and the community thinking that they're wonderful. Mm. That's all like grade A diamond level supply for a narcissist. Okay.
Yep.
There's like the dark, what I call the dark underbelly, which is like the coal level supply. It burns, it gives them energy. They still love it. They want both. But it's not as good in the hierarchy of supply from a narcissist point of view. And that is devaluing, debasing people, intimidating people, making them squirm, driving them crazy, getting them to be in the mud with them. They love all that too. So the key in negotiating with them is getting, putting a situation together where you have a strategy and leverage that kind of leans on that diamond level grade A supply and maybe threatens them to be exposed in some way, you know, either in front of the judge or other people that they respect. And only by doing that will they let go of the diamond level supply of making your life miserable or the co-level supply of making your life miserable. So that's kind of like the whole thing in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when people come into my webinars or, you know, buy my programs or things, you know, the biggest thing that I see is just the mindset of understanding that they are the most scared little people on the planet. They don't want you to know that. They want you to be scared. They want you to be intimidated. And so a lot of times people are like, oh my God, they're going to go crazy if I do this. They're going to, you know, and then they end up constantly on the defensive and they can't figure out why they're not getting anywhere in their cases because they're not creating a strategy to be on the offensive. You kind of have to be aggressive when it comes to litigating with narcissists, especially in a divorce situation, but even, you know, in a business setting or whatever, or negotiating with them. You kind of have to, you know, they respect you more if you're willing to stand up to them in a lot of ways.
Which probably feels totally opposite of what people have done with them. So, and I know that you have so many courses on this, like taking people step by step through, you know, when I was watching your YouTube, it's kind of like, okay, if they do this, this is what you can do to disarm them, or this is what you can expect. Where do you see people classically like going wrong? Where do they tend to lose their power majority of the time, even if they kind of have learned about it? Where are they going to get triggered or lose their power?
Oh, there's so many places they can start skidding off the road, but, you know, giving them the supply that they want in some ways, not going on the offensive, not having the right mindset where you feel like you can win, you can beat this. You know, I'll talk to people and they'll be like, well, I'll never get that. Or if I do that, then he'll go crazy. Or I'm just going to go ahead and give in on this thing. You know, and a lot of times you're giving away your leverage even before you start. Just because, you know, a lot of times narcissists and empaths find their way to each other. And so empathic people, it's really against their grain to think, oh, I have to have strategy and leverage and all, you know, because I don't want to fight. I just want this thing to be over.
Right.
And so it's counterintuitive to say, well, if you don't want to fight, then you have to have strategy and leverage, or you're definitely going to have a fight.
Let's take a little break to talk about Liquid IV. I am absolutely loving it because I not only have really big business goals right now, but I have health goals. I have body goals that I want to get to, and I want to feel good while I'm building this company, and I don't want my immune system to be run down. You guys, when we push our body hard or we don't feel very good, it's really, really important to take care of ourselves with the proper vitamins and nutrients. That's why Liquid IV created Hydration Multiplier Plus Immune Support to maintain and strengthen your immune system. I love having this before and during my workout. Hydration Multiplier Plus Immune Support is the cutting edge blend of vitamin C, zinc, and Wellmune in convenient single serving packets to help strengthen your immune system. You can get your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier Plus Immune Support in bulk at Costco or order online and get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code HAPPY at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get Better Hydration today using promo code HAPPY at liquidiv.com. What do you wish more people knew about what you do?
I really wish that they knew that you're not on the same page when you start to negotiate. You, reasonable person, are just thinking in your brain, what do they want? I'll just give it to them so it'll be over. And not realizing what they want is to continue to jerk you around so they can get narcissistic supply from that. Mm-hmm. So you're not on the same page. They're not trying to settle the case. They're trying to jerk you around and manipulate you. And until you realize that, you're going to be spending hundreds of thousands of dollars and many hours of your life and time and energy and still be nowhere.
Mm. So you're in this, like, this is your career. This is what you've become an expert in. This is what you're known for. What still excites you about this? Like, what, when you are learning more or you're helping people, like, what is your favorite part about all of it?
Oh my gosh. I get literally hundreds of emails a day. Wow. And direct messages on people who have said that I have saved their lives.
Wow.
That they left a toxic relationship after 28 years because of me, that they just won their narc in court because of me, that I saved their children's lives. Literally, I have two girls that all they do all day long is respond to emails because I still want people to get like a personalized response. Mm-hmm. And so because of, you know, the nature of what I do, that's, you know, amazing to me.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your book. You have two books?
Two books.
Okay. Tell me about your books.
Yeah. So Breaking Free, a step-by-step divorce guide I wrote in 2013. Mm. That's been a while ago now, but it's still really good. And it's Breaking Free emotionally, physically, and spiritually. I take you through all the emotions and then the actual divorce every step of the way, assets, children, parenting plan, all the things that you need to think about. Mm. And then spiritual freedom. And then I have Negotiate Like You Matter, which came out in 2019. And Robert Shapiro wrote the foreword for that. And it's, you know, all about negotiation in general. I do have some references to narcissism in there, but I wasn't really focusing on that in 2019. So I didn't really go too heavily in that there. But my courses, I have a lot more on that. So
Negotiate Like You Matter. Tell me about what that one is about, because I think the topic of negotiating is freaking amazing. I'm actually so in it right now. And like what can be negotiated, you know, which I'm learning is everything. Everything. But the art of negotiation, tell me a little bit more about what that particular book as well, Negotiating Like You Matter, correct? That's what it's called.
Yeah. Negotiate Like You Matter. And I called it that because I remember hearing a quote from Oprah saying that after 25 years of doing her show, that all she realized that no matter, you know, if they were heads of state or, you know, whatever, all people want to feel seen, heard, and know that they matter. Mm. And it resonated with me because I was like, oh, that's what's really going on in the negotiation. Mm. Like people are trying to feel valued and they want to make sure that they get value out of the negotiation or they're not going to settle. Or if they do, it won't stick.
Interesting. Yeah.
And so MATTER is the acronym that I came up with for how to negotiate. You know, my value is defined by me, and you know, and all that sort of thing. And I don't even, I mean, I incorporate that methodology now in the SLAY program because I'm really focusing more on negotiating with narcissists, either in business or personal. But the methodology is still the same. I mean, it's you know, mostly focusing on your mindset, number one, but then it's like doing your research, you know, tackling hard issues second, you know, doing the start with areas that you might agree and then work toward more difficult areas, you know, keeping your emotions out of it, recording agreements in writing. So, I mean, the methodology is still, you know, exactly what I do.
Love that. What are you doing when you are at your best?
I really am loving being super creative and coming up all of this content and coming up with ways to serve people and impact people on a greater level. I absolutely love doing this. And, you know, I, as a divorce attorney, which I don't really practice that much anymore because I don't have to, but I am a partner still at a firm. But, you know, on a day-to-day basis, running cases and dealing with people who are unhappy and staff and opposing counsel and judges and all of that was a very, very stressful way to make a living, frankly. And, you know, so I'm much happier and I'm very, very grateful that I can use the knowledge that I gained from being in those trenches all those years to help people literally all over the world. I mean, I actually sold a program to a guy who's a researcher on Antarctica. And I was like, okay, we've hit all continents now.
That's awesome. That's amazing. So let's talk about that pivot point because, you know, to the outside world, okay, you have this amazing job. You're incredible at it. You know, you were known as one of the best in your field, except clearly there was a point for you that you were like, wow, this is stressful. I'm not as happy as I could be. I'm good at what I do. Tell me about that pivot point and how you were like, I need to be doing something, you know, that I enjoy more. Like what did that look like for you? Because it couldn't have been easy at first. And was it scary? Like, you know, tell me all the things.
Yeah, sure. So I had set out to build the best family law practice in Southwest Florida. And, you know, I wanted to be the top and I wanted all these accolades. I wanted to be best lawyers in America by US News. I wanted to, you know, have all of those things. And, you know, what I realized is that I'm really an entrepreneur at heart. Like I loved building the company and built and creating the business and building the brand. I didn't love the maintenance phase of it. You know, I always say like I built it and then it basically ate me alive. And I had, you know, such a great reputation that I literally couldn't have never stepped outside of my office ever again, except to go to court and continue to have a stream of business. I mean, it was way too much business for me. And I tried to hire more people and all this other stuff. And I just felt like it wasn't serving my soul anymore. I was just like tired. And I just felt like I'm not, you know, I felt a tremendous amount of integrity to my clients. And I was like, if I'm not giving them my best, then I feel like I shouldn't be doing this. And so I have, my daughter is now just a freshman at UC Davis, but she was just starting high school. And I was like, I know I only have a few more years with her and I want to spend more time with her. And this is not allowing me to do that. So I merged my practice with two other guys in the town where I was. And, you know, and my husband always wanted to come back to SoCal. This is where he had lived after, you know, we met in law school. And so he had lived out here after college, like right before I met him. And I was like, yeah, let's just do it. And, you know, it's so funny because people in the town were like, oh my God, does she have cancer? Or she's like, who would walk away from a practice like that? But, you know, I'm still a partner there. I still bring in clients, but I don't really run the cases on a day-to-day basis anymore. And it's like served my soul so much because I love being creative. I love coming up with ideas for content or ways that we can serve this audience and these people. And I know, you know, right now, I'm pretty sure I'm the only lawyer on the planet who's really doing this teaching in any kind of a meaningful way. And there's so much more that we can do. I mean, there's so many ideas that I have all day long on how to serve these people and help them create brand new lives. Yeah. And I love it. So
that's amazing. And it's so needed, especially how accessible you're making it right now. But you had to, you must have found yourself like a, and maybe you still feel this way, like a total beginner in certain things, like, Oh my God, sitting and hitting record on a camera. And how do I get this content out? And who do I talk to? What had to change in your life? Who did you have to, you know, start hanging around? What conversations did you start to have in order to like understand what this new world was of entering, you know, you're entering into the digital world. You're going from like, you
Totally. A world I never even knew existed.
Yeah, how'd you discover it? What helped you?
You're so perceptive. You're a very good interviewer.
Well,
like
thank
this.
You.
Yeah, these are good questions. So I was not sure what I wanted to do next, actually. I had no idea. And so after I had merged my practice and you know, we're out here in California, I was listening to entrepreneur podcasts just because I find them interesting. And I heard Russell Brunson on a podcast. Awesome. And he was like, oh, get my free book, Expert Secrets. And of course, I didn't know it was a funnel at the time. I'm like, oh, free book. Sounds
awesome.
So I was totally sucked into his whole funnel by, you know, by getting that free book. And then I started just listening to everything he had to say and taking notes and learning how to build funnels. And what a, I never heard of a landing page or a lead page or anything like that before. I literally taught myself all of it, brand new. And then I took a course on how to do YouTube videos and how to do the SEO and all of that. And like, it was a good little student and did it exactly the way they said. And I thought, well, let me give it a shot. You know, like, what do I have to lose?
Right.
And so like, I really just started doing it in a meaningful way, like about a year ago. And I literally went from zero subscribers to over 100,000 in 10 months. So, which is a combination of the SEO, but also the content was very needed.
Yeah. I'm so happy you're sharing this because I think, you know, people can feel really stuck in what they're doing. And I think what happens is we start out in our lives and we have something that we're really good at, not realizing a lot of the times that it's meant to evolve, right? It's meant to change. And sometimes it doesn't mean even leaving what you're doing because you're still doing the main, you know, heartbeat of what you were doing before. But you're sometimes we get tired, like you were feeling tired and not energized anymore because of kind of the delivery, right? And constantly having to like work one-on-one with people when you may have realized you really have more of like a teacher archetype in that you could fulfill. And I think what is so cool with a story like yours is there's a lot of people who can be great at something, but it doesn't have to be trading time for money or it doesn't have to be working one-on-one or coaching in a certain way. You can really teach to the masses and reach a lot more people. So tell me what you've enjoyed more. I know that you've said, you know, the creation process, but what kind of like freedom has that given to you being able to like teach now digitally and to the masses? What does that feel like? Does that feel better to you than like the constant one-on-one? Like what is different?
Totally. Well, obviously I'm not trading time for money anymore. I mean, you know, I've been able to create a situation where people have access to my knowledge, methods, and strategies, which they never would have had access to, you know, for just a few hundred dollars.
Right.
You know, obviously you don't even get to talk to me for that much money, even in a one client meeting as a lawyer, right?
Yep.
But they get to have my whole entire course and all my secrets for that. And that's like, a huge gift, really, mm-hmm. that I feel like I'm giving to the world in a lot of ways. I mean, because no other lawyer is doing that. I mean, yeah. if you want to talk to a lawyer, you're paying a $10,000 retainer or whatever yeah. it is, you know? I mean, so at a minimum, maybe a lot more.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, that enthuses me. I also love connecting with people like you and other entrepreneurs who are up to really, really cool things. That totally energizes me. Mm-hmm. I feel like I found my people, mm-hmm. you know, because anybody who's in this space, who's working hard to improve lives of other people and constantly thinking of ways that you can make people's lives better and impact people in a positive way, they're my people. Mm-hmm. I, you know, it's so cool, you know, and I'm really grateful to shout out to our mutual friend, Susan Sly, who introduced us. Yeah.
Love her.
Because she's great too. I mean, you know, just for me being able to be in this world of being with people who, you know, we elevate each other. It's a world of abundance. I help you. It makes this all better. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Oh, I love that too. I so resonate with so many things that you just said. And I, what I love about your story too, is the creative thinking, like the, okay, what else can I do with this, you know, skill that I have? And it's so, we're living in a time where it is like, we have got so much opportunity of who it can help and how it can help. And like, you can get so niche, like look how niche your particular, this is so niche. I mean, it is like, you know, some people in the past might've been like, wow, that's really niche. I'm not really sure how that's going to go. And it's like, the fact that you are so niche, I think has been such a blessing. And it's like, you know exactly who you're talking to. You know exactly who your people are. You know exactly what to say. You know exactly what content is going to hit for them. So I actually think that there's so much room for a lot of people who might be out there like, wow, I have a really niche thing that I do. And it's, I don't know if it's going to work. I have seen yours isn't, you know, crazy because it's actually quite needed, but I've seen some crazy things like people who are like, well, I, you know, I'm really good at weaving baskets, and they've put out courses that make tons of money on like very specific things.
I, you know, there's a saying out there is like, there's riches and niches and broad equals broke.
I did broad and it didn't do very well. So
yeah, I tried actually the first few videos. If you look at it, dig deep in my old YouTube stuff, I tried doing like, you know, clothing color psychology in negotiating and negotiating pay raise and things like that. And it was just too, like, it may do better now if I did that just because I have more of an audience, you know, now. But, you know, I did one video on how to negotiate with a narcissist just for like, almost like to make myself start doing videos.
Yeah.
And so I just literally like, 4 o'clock one afternoon, I'm like, I'm doing it. I just turned on Zoom. I didn't even like brush my hair. If you like look at this old video, it's like, it wasn't really meant to be. I didn't think anybody would actually see it, right? And I throw it up there. It's like 2.5 minutes. And I was like, okay, did it. And then that video got like 650 views. And all my other videos had like 10.
You're like, damn it, I want to brush my hair.
And I was like, oh my God, like that's crazy. And so I was like, okay. And plus I was dealing with narcissists in my own life. So I was studying everything I could about it.
Yeah.
And I realized, oh, you know, I can actually apply what I'm learning about narcissists to what I know about negotiation. Mm. So I was like, let me just start doing a couple of videos on that and see how it goes.
Well, okay. You said a couple things that just like, I have to repeat back to people that you did, because this is what we always talk about when people are trying to pivot and launch a business online or scale or grow or find what that thing is. And you literally collected data. You just kept throwing things at the wall of like, okay, I'm going to try this. We're going to try this. We're going to try this. And then you looked at the data, this 10 views, whatever views, 650. Okay, let's go a little bit more on this one now that we have data on this. And so many people are trying to be perfect and nail that perfect video, kind of like what you said, or nail that perfect program, or nail that without knowing what hits yet. you know? And I love that. I think videos are a brilliant way to kind of like figure out what your audience even wants. Just try a bunch of videos. And then the ones that are hitting, or try a bunch of posts, right? Like whether it's Instagram or Facebook, and go a little bit deeper on the ones that actually resonate. Then you can put your energy, maybe some ad spend, some money there, which is so brilliant. You collected data. What are some other things that you've seen that you feel have been making you successful in the online space?
Yeah. So I'm actually helping a friend get set up with this whole online space business right now. And she's she has her own food product and she wants to, you know, start coaching people on starting a food product business. And she's like, oh, maybe it's too niche or whatever. I'm like, just get out there, start doing it. I bet you'll find that there's lots of people out there who want to do it. I mean, look at you, you're doing one right now, right? I mean, so I told her, I'm like, because she's like, I have to build a program. I'm going to, you know, these are all the things I'm going to put in the program. And I said, just start coaching people first.
Yeah.
Like literally do videos and get people into your, you know, do your freebie, whatever it is. And then, you know, have that freebie, go, you know, have like a 5 sequence of nurture emails.
Yeah.
And then have those nurture emails go to, you know, a discovery call with you, and then sell them on a coaching package because that's low hanging fruit. You get money in the door right away. And that way you also can start seeing what do people actually need, you know, because you don't want to create a program that has all these extra things in it that people don't actually want or need, perfecting it, making it amazing and all that stuff. I mean, one of the best pieces of advice I got from someone was that you can build the plane while you're flying it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and especially in this space, if that's what people want to do.
Oh my gosh. One of the most freeing things that I had ever heard was, it was when I was starting to make courses and Brendon Burchard had talked about, he didn't have anything to sell. And he was speaking on all these different stages. And one particular stage, he realized all the speakers before him, he was kind of towards the end, had a program to offer. And he didn't have a program. And he was like, oh my God, I'm on the stage and I have this opportunity. And I don't have a program. And he went out there and he was like, literally just created a program based off of what he was seeing from like some of the feedback of what people were wanting. And he pitched a program that did not exist and sold it to a ton of people based off of the feedback he was getting from the audience. And then he built it really fast off of the things that I think he had like surveyed people or something like that of like, what do you want to learn in this program? Literally built this thing that was not built. So he sold a program that didn't even exist.
That's amazing.
It was,
I love that.
So free. It literally was what I started doing at my events because I wanted to do exactly what they had wanted. And sometimes before you're prepping for an event, you don't always have time to create a program, except let me tell you, nothing makes you create a program better than a deadline. So I know you probably know that as well.
Well, I always say if it weren't for the last minute, nothing would get done.
Oh my God. That's so good. Keep that. That is the story of my life. My husband's like, Lori, no matter what amount of time you ever have, you save it till the end. I'm like, and I always do it.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite sayings. I'm so good at that. But you know, like even if you're doing like an 8-week program or something and you're going to deliver it live, you only have to do 1 week at a time to prep. Like, you know, you just need to make sure that next week you're ready and then the following week you're ready, right? You can just get people in there and then be ready at, you know, by the time it goes.
Totally. I mean, and it might seem backwards to people, but man, it's like it focused more on getting the people in. And then once they're in, you know, it's people focus too much on the program and don't have anyone to sell it to. And it's always the other way around, like acquire your audience, you know, like you said, give things away for free, add value, all the things. And then you can talk about what you can give them. So you have got something for all of our listeners that you want to share. So what is that?
I do. It's a free Crush My Negotiation prep worksheet. So if you want to crush your negotiation, you need to get it, and you just get it at winmynegotiation.com. So winmynegotiation.com. It's a 15-page ebook. It's not like it's one of those giveaways where it's like a one-sheeter or something. It really is like a very substantial freebie. So definitely grab that. Come, you know, if you put in Negotiate with a Narcissist in YouTube, you will most definitely find me. Mm-hmm. And if you go to at Rebecca Zung on Instagram, you'll find me there.
Amazing. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm sure there's a lot of people like, oh my God, right now. So I hope that they, you know, get their, I know that they're going to gain some power back and just feel a little more free in their lives. So you guys definitely let Rebecca know what your aha moment was, what you resonated with by tagging her on Instagram, sharing this podcast. That's always one of the biggest things that you can do for our guests is let them know the impact that they actually made. And let me tell you, it's really nice to know who we were talking to during the show. So it's fun to see your face. And you guys know that I always like to share your shares. So Rebecca, thank you again so much. I appreciate you. You're amazing. You guys definitely go find her, follow her, watch her YouTubes, share them. I have shared them with so many people in my life and my family. So you guys go share the video with somebody that you know who could really use some help with this. And until next time, earn your happy. Bye, everyone.